to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane Fawcett, and this is my last chance introing the show. Magic number three. Hey, guys, it's just me here in the studio. How's it going? Woo, woo. Hey.
And we also have Sarah. And Christian is here, and as is Kevin. Yes. Kevin, how are you?
Today, I will be playing the role of a choo-choo train. Me and Jane. Woo woo! That's what you just did.
Why am I?
I don't know.
A that was choo-choo you, train also.
Because you just did your choo-choo train noise.
Before we get into anything.
I wanted to join you in the choo-choo train.
Before we get into anything, I'm really excited about the music this week. Because we've got some 80s jams.
Oh, my and gosh.
And just in case you guys didn't know, our intro song is an 80s song.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a song from Hot Rod, which we've explained before. But this is an all-80s show. Yep. So,
yep. Kevin and I were talking last night, and for some reason...
Late last night.
Right. group of people.
Let me clarify. We're recording for the State of the Church video, which is going to be amazing. Right. So
yes, it's going
to
be hilarious.
We should get Pat in here to explain, like before the video is shown, explain the plot of it, kind of like as a precursor.
Yeah.
What clip are we going to see here today, Pat?
Yeah, we could do that. Kind of like somebody comes on the show to promote their movie, like a late night show,
yeah,
that type of thing.
Yeah, but a late night show is on television.
Well, you know, people come on podcasts and promote their stuff all the time.
Okay, yeah. So back to the music, Sarah.
Yeah.
You chose it?
No, well, for some reason, someone started singing Lady in Red last night, and then I started singing Lady in Red, and then...
Wow.
Then we start talking about it should be an 80s day today. So Kevin chose a couple songs. I chose a couple songs.
It was a team effort.
It really was.
Do you guys want to hold hands?
I think it's kind of far.
Sarah told me this morning, and like I could pick a bunch of 80s songs, but I didn't want to because I wanted to leave it up to you because you seemed very excited about it this morning. You had an exclamation point after your messages to me. So,
well, I try to add those as often as I can just to, you know, keep things friendly.
Well, outside of the 80s music, we've got a good show for you. We are going to be discussing God's Wrath. So that's fun.
Can I say who our guest is going to be today?
Yeah, totally.
Today, our guest is my favorite WSM student and yours, Brett Carricker. He is in my high school life group, goes to Buchanan, and he's an all-around great kid.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and we'll be talking with him just about his life, what it's like to be in high school, and we get to hear his high school schedule, which is... very easy.
Yeah.
And, easy peasy.
I miss being in high school.
Seriously.
Yep. Also, we'll close out the show with some announcements, some spout outs, and all of the above, but enjoy some 80s music.
What about the game?
Are we you not guys didn't seem that into year? The game.
I mean, this episode?
I actually did think about the game, and what was it again? It's supposed to guess whether it's an Olympian name or
a James Bond villain.
My only pushback would be there's no strategy involved. You're just guessing.
Yeah, like, one or the other.
Yeah, I liked better that one that I said was on the radio. Is it a dance move or an MMA fighter?
Yeah, see, those are fun too. So
I've never heard that.
We'll try and get a game going, but probably not on this episode. Oh. Stay tuned for some 80s music, and then sermon discussion up next.
Most of us don't know the message of Nahum, but you know very well the people that Nahum spoke to, because the same prophet, Jonah, spoke to the same group of people years prior. Jonah, when he came to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, spoke a message of grace and repentance against his will to these people. God said, I love them. I want to save them. And you are going to be my messenger to preach grace and repentance to these people. When now Nahum comes to this group of people 100 years later, his message is very different. It is not one of grace. It is not one of mercy. It is one of wrath and one of judgment. And I think this text serves as a perfect picture for us, because the first coming of Christ is like Jonah. We had a Christ that came as a lamb, not as a lion. We had a Christ that came as a suffering servant that was willing to lay his life down. And he preached grace and repentance to all that would hear. But he is returning in the form of a Nahum, if you will. And he is going to bring wrath, and he is going to bring judgment, and he is going to bring a very different message as a lion than he did as a lamb. And that's the picture here.
That was a clip from Mike's sermon from this past week. And Mike taught at midweek, and he also taught, I believe, at the Clovis campus on Sunday morning. And then who did the PM? Scott Carolyn did the PM, right, Jane?
Right.
And then who do you guys know who did the AM? Was it Jared?
Yes.
And then Fig Garden was Dave Oswald as well. And from what I heard from my wife, who was at the PM services, was that the message was very different from what like Dave and Scott taught versus what Mike and kind of Jared taught, but all had a very similar theme. It's just different scriptures, different way of teaching the message about he is lion and kind of talking about God's wrath. And so I don't know what messages you guys heard, but I was at midweek and Jane led worship. I don't know if you guys were there. And she was great.
What?
Yeah,
it's a
Jane.
Little secret. Jane.
Did you sing?
Yeah, she sang with Chris Beery. It was great.
I danced.
Yeah, she danced.
She did the ribbons.
Yeah, she didn't sing. She just danced the whole time.
Really?
No, Jane, you were great. You're excellent.
Thanks, Christian.
I was there. It's good times. Now,
you take that compliment, Jane.
Let's just keep going.
All right.
So hey, wait. I want to know how good was she on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to what?
10.
Right, man, she didn't have your own solo song, so we didn't get to hear a solo song by you, but Jane was a great backup singer. I'd give her a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
So Jane? You sounded good
with
Chris.
My moves.
All right, yeah, good. Okay. You take that compliment. I got moves you ain't never seen.
That's right. Now, Kevin, who did you hear?
I heard Mike. And one thing I liked about Mike's
you
message.
You went to Clovis?
All the time. I'm a ghost. I just move.
Kevin listens a lot online as well.
No, I listened to it online. Yeah. That's what it was.
He was filming.
Yeah, I had I went to a different church, and we, you know, in the interview we talk about the difference between the 7 and 11 and 9, you know, here. It was a trip, dude. I'm just talking to you. We're not on a podcast right now.
It was a trip,
bro. Bro. No, it was crazy, man. I was looking at the bulletin. They're like, this service features a chef cooking while we give a sermon. And then this one is Southern Baptist. And then this one is techno rock and roll.
Shut up.
It was almost that ridiculous.
That's crazy.
They literally had
Did you go to Mosaic in L.A.?
No, I'm not going to say where I went. But they literally had five versions of the service. I don't know, it was interesting. And then the service that I went to was very traditional, and it was just, I just forgot. I totally forgot what that was like. And the guy was singing and conducting while he was singing. And if you could see this is, you would know that what I'm doing
Kevin's
now is
conducting.
Hilarious. Mike Slayton comes back and they're like, Mike, come back. We're going to have you teach a really chipper, cheery message this week. So it was awesome, though. I mean, that's definitely my least favorite Jesus. Great reminder. I actually, I don't know, that's always kind of one of the things I've thought about, is that I want to know God like that and really feel that anger and whatnot, just because I don't know.
Yeah.
Jesus is my pillow most of the time in my theology in my brain. So it was a nice reminder. The picture of Aslan that he talked about was great. And then I thought, this is the tattoo I want to get on my back.
Yeah.
Aslan, no.
Jesus
no, just Jesus coming back with a sword coming out of his mouth and just like slicing fools down. But then I'm like, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it was interesting. They did, at the end of the service, Scott Carolyn. I don't know if he did the closing at the 5 and the 7, but Scott Carolyn did the closing at midweek, and he was like, "Hey, if you want to tag the campus, here is another description of Christ, and you know, maybe these are things that you tag as well." And I saw a few people tagging at the end of midweek, like different like instead of all these like nice and fluffy type things, it was like he is lion or he is wrath, things like that. So
that's how Mike started out the sermon at Clovis. He said, okay. He's like, I was looking at, you know, North and Clovis and all the words that we use to describe Jesus. You know, I didn't see God is anger or God is wrath. Why is that? And then that's how he started out his sermon. Yeah.
Now, you heard Scott's message?
I actually heard a little bit of Scott, Mike, and Jared.
Oh, because you are there at North all day. So you kind of got God's wrath all day long.
Man, he just wrathed me up.
You know, one of the...
wrath could be a verb, yeah.
One of the cool descriptions that Mike gave at midweek, and I know they all had a Tim Keller quote that I can't remember right now that was really good, because I heard bits and pieces of Scott's message from Lacey. She kind of gave me the overview of it last night. But Mike had this beautiful description of God's basically reaction towards sin. And I don't know if he did it at Clovis, but he was basically had this professor that...
I loved this.
Yeah, it was a great description of sin. And he had this professor in... was it seminary or college or...
It wasn't him in particular.
But I think he had him as a professor at a certain point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they called him like prof or something. And well-respected professor that he maybe had at Dallas Seminary. Not sure where it happened, but he basically... There was this story that was told about this guy and his reaction to a student. And essentially, like, this professor had a standard of, here is when my test... needs to be turned in. Here's when
the paper.
Yeah, this paper needs to be turned in. And so this guy comes to him and says, like, hey, prof, can I get an extension on this paper? And the professor says, no, my standard is set. Like, this is when the paper is supposed to be turned in. You may not get a extension on it. There's no way. However, give me a second. And what he does is he makes a phone call to his wife and he says, just so you know, like, I'm not going to be home at all tonight. I'm going to be here working all night long through the night at work. I'll see you tomorrow after 4 o'clock.
And it was their anniversary.
Yeah.
It was going out to dinner and a movie.
That's right.
Totally canceled plans.
Yeah. So canceled their anniversary dinner. And, he comes back in and he says, okay, I'm not going to change the standard that's set for for this paper to be due, but I am going to spend all night long helping you write this paper so you can turn it in by the date that was set to turn this in. Mm-hmm. And it was just this beautiful picture of God has set a standard for sin. And however, he offers us grace so that we don't have to essentially face God's wrath in hell, you know what I mean? And we get the opportunity to spend eternity with him through his grace. And he won't change his standard. He won't go, oh, it's fine, you're good. You had a couple mistakes, but he does offer us grace to his son, Jesus. And I thought that was this beautiful picture of the lion of God saying, look, here's my standard. I'm not changing, but I'm also a lamb, and we heard about that last week, and I am a gracious and loving God. And Lacey said that Scott's message really focused on, yes, there is a wrathful God, but it's because he loves us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's because a kid who needs discipline, that's love, you know what I mean? And
I think it's cool too, because that story also shows the picture that God's with you through the whole thing too.
Right.
Like that professor stayed with him all night. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that God does with us through our sin. Like, he's there to pull us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even more, I was talking to Melissa Denisi, who she works for the Clovis campus also. But like the story, if we're to apply that to our spiritual life, it's even more than like, hey, I didn't get it done in time, can I have an extension? It's, I chose not to do it until today. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I had other things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was irresponsible. It's like, because we choose to sin. It's not like, oh, I accidentally did this. Like, no, I choose to sin, you know. And he still said, okay, I'm going to work on this with you. Mm-hmm. So it makes us even like less deserving, you know.
Yeah, and it's just the thought of... you know, they mentioned it, I think, in all the messages, but we think of Jesus as something totally different. And, you know, it's just this beautiful picture of, man, God is loving, but he is also very wrathful. And we miss that side of him. But we can't look at God as this, like, destroyer that just wants everybody to burn. It's like, no, he's wrathful because he loves us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And all that wrath, like, it, the more that we see God's wrath and God's anger, the more we can appreciate what Christ did on the cross, because totally. There is no more wrath left for us because he poured all of it on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And like, it, the after like yesterday's message, I walked away just like with renewed like gratitude for what we have in Christ. So
do you guys ever hear like a new message and then go, I'm not sure if this whole religion is for me. Mm-hmm. And then go, I literally did. I was listening to Mike today, and he's talking about the whole babies thing and how innocent, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, it is what it is. And I was like, man, that doesn't feel good. Like, I don't know. Like, man, that's maybe, like, for a split second, I'm going, man, maybe this, that's, and then I was like, oh, wait, it doesn't matter if I like it or not. Like, it doesn't matter if it's not for me or not. Right. It's not like, mm-hmm. I don't have a choice. Like, it's, this is what's going to happen. There's a bus mm-hmm. coming and it's going to hit you and you can either get out of the way or not, you right. know? Mm-hmm. And, it was a little weird moment where I was just like, for a second I thought, oh yeah, I could be a Buddhist and then everything would, then reality would change.
Well, I think this type of message can do two things. You can have that exact reaction, which I think people have, or you could have the reaction of, I am so thankful that I chose to accept Christ in my life. You know what I mean? And how fortunate am I to have found Christ mm-hmm. and been told about Christ, and somebody invited me to a summer camp 1 year and it's mm-hmm. like, and I found Christ, you know what I mean? And so it's like that, you're right, Kevin. I think you can have two separate reactions. And kind of going back to what you were saying, Sarah, I wonder if this message would have, what happens if we did lion and lamb, but we reversed it, where we did lion the first week and then we did lamb the second week. And it's like, here you have it hanging in the sense of like, sorry, this is what it is. But then you have, you understand the picture so much more of why Christ is so important to the picture and why it's like, how really amazing it is that Christ died on the cross and what a sacrifice that was for God to send his son. You know what I mean? I wonder if the imagery would have almost worked better flipped, but I think it still worked.
Yeah, I think it would have better flipped. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt anybody, but I think it could have worked flipped, but in chronological order of how this is going to go down, like that's going to be the legacy of this. When this world is done, the last thing that will have happened will be a picture of Christ murdering people, you know, killing people, handing out justice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's duly earned. But that's going to be the last thing that happens. You know, then of course, you know, the whole heaven thing. they'll have that too. But that'll be the last thing that goes down, you know, which is kind of a trip. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I think you're right. It could work, but I don't know if it's honest to the story.
Mike said something yesterday that I'd never heard before, but I wrote it down. I thought it was really cool. But God's justice for us, our justice in his character is directly proportionate to his love for us. Mm-hmm. So he desires justice so much and he has so much wrath, but it is because he equally loves us and desires for us to be in relationship with him. So I've never heard of it like that. They are just right next to each other, love and wrath.
Yeah.
Scott was saying that he has wrath for us because he loves us, and how like wrath is like a sub portion of his love in a sense. Mm-hmm.
You know what was interesting is I know Scott didn't do this because I talked with him a little bit, but Mike did it in his message about the comparison between Jonah and Nahum. Mm-hmm. And Scott and Dave did not use the Nahum scripture in their sermons, but there was a contrast between, we look at the book of Jonah as like a little bit of a fluffy story. We went through it in church.
I am Jonah.
The I am Jonah thing. And Mike mentioned it in the clip earlier, but I thought it was a really cool contrast that we miss because we don't oftentimes read the book of Jonah or Nahum. We read Jonah because it's a cool story, but Nahum's a pretty like sad book.
It took me a long time to find Nahum.
Mike on Wednesday even made the joke of like, I'll wait while you guys look at your table of contents.
Forever. Go to the sticky pages of your Bible. Yeah.
But Nahum's just about as short as Jonah is. I think Jonah's four chapters and Nahum's three. But it's this picture of like Jonah's this guy, story about God sending this guy to offer grace to these Assyrians that are just doing horrible things in Nineveh. And you know, it's just like, oh man, this God is actually so gracious. And you know, we make the comparison, are we like Nineveh? Do we need God's grace or whatever that is? And then you get to the book of Nahum and it's like, wow, this, if you read that book without any other context of the Bible, it seems like a very hopeless book. Yeah. And this prophet writing this stuff down must just be going, man, Jonah, the story of Jonah, like that's a gracious God. What I'm writing is like, this guy's brutal, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a cool contrast, I think, of God, because we oftentimes, just based on what you guys just said, we don't read the book of Nahum. Mm-hmm. It's not the story that gets in the public. We read the book of Jonah because that's the one that sounds good and cool. And I almost want to reiterate that point of like, there's so much in the Bible that we just pass over because it doesn't feel good. It's not the religion we want to be a part of. You know what I mean?
He also said, I don't know if the other teacher said this, but like people go up to Mike and say like, oh, well, my God would never do this, or my God would never have a place called hell or punish his children. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, right. Well, your God wouldn't, but the God of the Bible does. And it's almost like a form of idolatry to have your own God, like, my God wouldn't do this. Okay. Well, yeah. That one doesn't exist. Sorry. So if you're using the Bible as a standard, you have to read and believe all of it.
I thought it was interesting that I'm pretty sure Scott and Dave didn't do it as well. I don't even think Mike, I mean, I think he mentioned hell once, but we didn't really talk about hell, which I kind of liked because it was more like we just talked about God's wrath and God's judgment. And I think that's important because we always go to the next step to hell, but we miss the step kind of before that of God's wrath and God's judgment on his people. And like, I remember going to Israel, and did you go to Megiddo in Israel, Sarah? Megiddo is essentially the place of the final battle in Israel. And I remember just my head falling off at the end of it. And I came home and started telling Lacey, like, there is this place where this final battle is going to take place. And like, we as believers in Christ will be at this final battle. And I remember telling Lacey that, and she goes, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it's just not something that gets talked about. So you don't know it very much. And it's just one of those things where when you start learning about it, you start going through the book of Revelation and Nahum, you're like, wow, God, there's so much more that happens before hell. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And before the thing that we always end up talking about, it's like, well, there's some things that need to take place. And it's an insane story, you know, or that will come true one day, I guess.
Do we need to start militarizing right now?
Well, I think we're good.
Yeah, Jesus is fighting for us.
All right. Well, the whole rapture thing, they say, is at the beginning of the seven, at 3.5, or at the end of the seven. You know, am I going to have to start? I'm just saying.
You want to start talking about end time theology? I'm going to work on my swordplay.
What I want to see happen is Kevin get that tattoo.
Yes.
And then, like, that tattoo pops out of his back. And, like, that. Well, if you have not heard this message, it's a good one to hear. It's probably not the message you want to tell somebody to listen to present the gospel.
No, I think that would be, because you hear it and see, oh, I have a problem. I have a sin problem. Yeah. I need a savior. And then the lamb message.
Yeah, if you team it up.
Yeah, I think you got to team it up. Good call, Jane.
Yeah, yeah. You have to do, you can't do one without the other. How about that?
Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
In my opinion, I got all opinionated on you. Sorry.
I always, anytime somebody asks me about Jesus, I always hand him a CD.
Worship CD?
Yeah, I'm like, they're like, hey, what's this whole Jesus thing about? And I got, I'm going to take care of you.
I'll play drums on this album. Check it out.
That's right.
Just send him to Berean.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to the message, check it out online. The series is now ended. I believe this is the end of the He Is series. Mm-hmm. And next week, we're going to be starting up a new kind of 3-week little thing called helping people connect to each other, to God.
No, to God, to each other in every neighborhood.
Helping people connect to God is the first week. Uh-huh. Second week is helping people connect to each other. And third week is in every neighborhood.
Because it is the Wells mission statement.
Yes.
That's right.
So we're going
There's
through
a ship
and
in there. We're going to connect with
the
ships.
Ship just came out.
There's friendship involved, probably.
Okay, yeah. In every neighborhood ship.
And ship if you live on the ocean.
Yeah. And then that will kind of back into state of the church. And then we'll get back into our 1 Corinthians discussion here on this. It's been a while since we talked 1 Corinthians.
Man, I'm excited.
Yeah. Just kidding. So stay tuned for an interview with Brett Carriker. That is up next, and then we'll close out the show after that. But hey, enjoy some more 80s jams. Welcome back. We are here, and we are here with Brett Carriker. Brett, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Brett, you are our very first high school student on the show. Did you know that?
I did not.
Brett, how do you feel about that?
I feel honored to be with you four, and I've listened to you guys once, and the first time I listened to you, I just knew that I wanted to be on the show.
That's precious.
First and last time.
But you mostly wanted to be on the show because who's your favorite WSM leader?
Jane.
Yeah.
Right.
That's me.
Now,
who's your second favorite, though?
Actually, I probably have to go Mario, then Jane.
Fine, that's
just because
fine.
He's a guy, so he can relate.
Okay. You know, that's okay. Gender,
but favorite female, for sure.
For sure.
Now, Brett, did you... We were going to have your friend Cody on the show. We should give him a shout out, right?
Yep.
But he's at leadership camp.
Yep.
But you still were very kind enough to still come on the show and be a part of this.
Yep, I'm flying solo.
Is that cool?
But he is my wingman, so it might be a little hard.
It'll be fine. Now, I have a good story about you, and then we'll get into you a little bit. Is that fair?
You'll be fine.
Do you remember about 4 months ago, maybe 3 months ago now, you asked me to speak somewhere?
Baccalaureate.
And... this to me, I find very funny because this
is
the.
I think it's more that you take it personally.
Is this revenge that I'm like the fourth option that
you? This is a conversation that was had with me by Brett. So Brett came up to me at Bible study and he's like, "Hey man, dude, I got a total favor to ask you." I'm like, "Dude, whatever you need, man." So he's like, "All right, well, we asked Tim Tebow first, and he couldn't speak at the baccalaureate. Then we asked.
Did you really ask Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Then did you tweet him or something?
I texted him.
Who's that Fresno? We asked some Fresno State guy to do it. He couldn't do it. We asked last year's speaker. He couldn't do it. We asked Jordan and he couldn't do it. But like, what do you think? You think you could speak? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll speak. I'll be
right. String.
But it was a good time.
And you turned out great.
Yeah. So
that sounds like the spout cast quality.
Of a story
like,
or?
Yeah, well, no. Well, yeah. Of a story. I was like, hey, could you come in?
Do you mind being the backup speaker?
He's got 100 of these things.
But I made the joke that night, the same thing. It killed. It was good. It was good.
Probably the fourth time I've heard that.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's probably more like the 1800th time that we've heard it.
Oh, my God.
But, Brett,
you weren't
ever the fourth, fifth, sixth, anything pick. You've been our number one. You've been the one who's turned us down.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'm out of town. Sorry, I'm going to be in North Carolina.
Sorry, I'm
going to be in, where were you guys? Just some like island or whatever.
Balboa Island.
Sorry, I'm going to be in Balboa Island.
Now, didn't you go to Haiti this summer?
I did.
Tell us about that. What'd you do in Haiti?
Hello? Well, we went
Haiti.
Not Haiti.
It's actually pronounced Haiti.
Sorry.
Haiti.
Yes.
Right. Now, what'd you do in Haiti?
I legitimately thought he said Hades.
So there's a group about 17 of us, and there was two parts of the group. So we had like the teaching group, and they worked with the teachers there in the town of Massad.
Okay.
And they taught like the teacher's curriculum and how to teach the kids there because they do have a little school there. And then the other part of the team was the VBS team, and we worked with the orphanage there, which there was 23 kids there, boys and girls, and we would do like a craft with them, sing worship songs, do a Bible story, a little skit. And
so this was a mission trip essentially.
Yeah,
how'd you get connected with this mission trip?
Actually, Cody Brazil. Shout out to Cody.
Woo woo, Cove man.
Brazil. Used to go to the New Cove, and well, he still goes there sometimes, but
yeah.
And they go there twice a year, and then he kind of asked me, and at first, I was never like, "Yeah, let's go," like right away. It was more of like a, I mean, I'll look into it, I guess. And then it kind of just grew on me, and then God just like opened up all the doors completely. It was perfect timing to go, and.
And this year, Cody ended up not going with you, right?
He did not. He actually got an invitation to the Nike Elite Camp.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which is held in Beaver, or no, it's held in Eugene, Oregon.
Priorities, man.
And it's just like the top 10 runners in the nation. Yeah.
Now, this was a 2-week trip, and it wasn't a 2-week trip.
Nope.
How long were you there?
We were 8 days. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like Jordan said it was 2 weeks, but
Jordan like he's over.
He announced it from the stage one Sunday night at the 7 o'clock.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's given me 2 shout outs.
Okay.
One on my birthday and one
birthday shout out was because of me.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome.
And this what else have you been up to this summer?
I would have done it myself.
Well, just got back from Balboa Island. We had a baseball tournament in Newport, and we faced some good teams there. Didn't get the result that we wanted, but
what was the result that you got?
I think we were 3-3.
That's not the
but result. We beat like the 3 best teams in the tournament and lost to like 3 of the worst teams.
Yeah, that's about
just how it goes.
So, and at high school, which high school do you go to?
Buchanan High School.
Buchanan High, and what are some of the sports you play out there?
Football in the fall and baseball in the spring, and then golf on my own in the winter.
Do you do any other extracurricular activities like leadership?
I do. Yes, I do. I do leadership. I was ASB Athletics last year. I did run for ASB President this year and lost to Matt Nagamini.
They made a bad decision. Very poor decision.
I remember a while ago you tweeted something and you were like, 2011 is just not my year.
It really wasn't my year.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. It's all good, though.
Yeah, look at 2012 is a great year. I'm on Spoutcast right now.
Yeah.
You're going to be a senior then?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And your senior year, are you looking forward to it or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got my schedule is right where I want it.
Golden, huh?
Pretty simple.
You guys want to hear it?
Senior year. Sure, let's hear it. All right. Of my life.
So it's 0 period, Gov and Econ. And the reason I took 0 period is because it's only like a 30-minute class. The teacher cancels it half the time, and he's my football coach.
There you go.
That was a wise decision on your part.
First period, photo. Second period, leadership. Third and fourth, yearbook, because English counts as a yearbook.
Wow. Easy.
Sixth period, PE. Seventh period, off.
Why are you even going to school?
Wait, did you skip fifth period? Third and fourth yearbook?
Fifth period is lunch, yeah.
They should put you in a field instead of sending you to school. You're just having fun.
Yeah. That's how school should be.
I don't know, man. You got to learn.
Straight
stuff.
A's this year, right?
I'll go for like a 3.3 maybe.
The what? Off period
is going to go for
not showing off, not falling behind.
How are you going to get less than a 4.0?
No, I'll probably get a
4.0.
I will get a 4.0.
I would
if
hope
you don't,
so.
I promise.
Like this picture of the flower was not quite in focus. That's a B+.
So, have you already gotten into a college yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Where are you going to apply?
Actually, I was talking with Parker Overturf, who goes to the Well. And
he's been on the show before.
Has he?
Yeah.
A couple times.
Sure has.
I was thinking about going to City for a year, play baseball there. But while I'm in that first year,
out here in Fresno.
Yeah, Fresno City. Do the internship program here at the Well.
What?
Do the first year of residency, maybe lead a life group.
Brett.
Go to Israel.
Yeah.
I haven't told you this yet, James. I haven't told you this.
Brett, this is a big life plan that you haven't filled me in on.
Yeah, I know.
This is also unsolicited promotion for our internship program.
And residency.
And residency.
Okay, I think
so.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I've wanted to go play baseball at a really good school, but last year I didn't play much. So senior year, you can get recruited, but not as much.
Because of your shoulder injury.
Not quite, no.
Oh.
I mean, I did have a shoulder.
Okay, well,
injury.
I didn't we'll just say it's other reason.
Remember, dude, 2011 wasn't Brett's year.
It wasn't my year for numerous reasons. Okay. So then I was thinking about it, and I thought, okay, well, I can go to Fresno City, play baseball 2 years, and while I'm there, I can join the internship program here at The Well, which are starting up this year.
That's right.
But I can't do it this year.
You can transfer to most schools after out of a JC. So yeah.
I went to a JC for 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's good years. Time. 3 years out of junior college. Yep. Nice. Takes me a while, you know, but I got there.
So I'm assuming you want to do the WSM internship.
Yes.
You could do any internship.
Yeah. You could intern for me.
You could.
There's a connections intern?
Jane, yeah. Don't stop trying to get out of doing your job, Jane.
Brett, call this person back.
Now, Brett, you've been going to The Well for a while now, right? Mm-hmm. You primarily attend the 7 o'clock service, correct?
Yes.
Why do you like going to the 7 o'clock service?
I like the 7 o'clock. Well, mainly because it's mostly high school, college kids, and also most of the time it's live with either Brad or Jared or even Scott last night.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been to the earlier services, and the way they just connect with our generation of kids, they just know how to speak to you. And it
young
gets
adults.
You
don't have to call
young adults. Okay. Young
adults. Yeah, I wouldn't say.
Although
kid.
I am 17. So I'm not
yeah, it's interesting because I'll
it's
talk
the best
to
best age because you're not quite an adult yet. So you don't have all the adult expectations, but you're not a kid. Yeah. So you're like a mature, kid, but not expected to do as much as an adult. So
if you get caught keeping somebody's house, like they'll just be like, all right, you kids go home. Like 2 years from now, it's bad.
Yeah, you go to
jail. You go straight to the slammer.
And you get looked at like everyone's disappointed in you.
He TP'd
someone. Yeah.
What's interesting is I'll talk to different high school kids and they'll be like, yeah, I don't know about the 7. Or some kids will go, oh, I love the 7. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's just interesting to get a take on what different people's perspective is. Like that girl Zoe.
Yeah.
She comes to your guys' life group.
Oh, yeah.
So. And she's like, 11 o'clock is my service, you know? And then for you and Cody, like, you guys are there at the 7 every single week.
And Katie and Maddie.
Yeah, they're usually there as well.
And CJ.
CJ and Kaiser.
I haven't seen Kaiser in a long time.
He was there last night.
Nobody knows who these people are.
Kaiser was playing. Sorry,
let's talk about it. And inside jokes next.
No, he was playing a game on his phone last night.
Oh,
and I was like,
Fleeto boat, right? Right? All right.
Jane, you were there.
Hey, Brett, thanks for coming on the show, dude. And thanks for the unsolicited promotion of our internship and residency. I appreciate that.
I don't know what that means.
You asked me what we were going to do next year, and you're like, I might do the internship or residency.
Oh, I thought I just like blew a surprise at
it's free advertising for things at The Well. So thanks for being on the show, and hopefully you'll start to be a fan.
Oh, I'm a fan.
Like us all on Facebook.
Yeah, totally. All right, Brett, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Until it was gone. A second once in a lifetime. Maybe too much to ask, but I swear from now on. If ever you're in my arms again, this time I'll love you much better. If ever you're in my arms again, this time
All right, we are back, and we're going to close out the show here. But before we do that, we want to do some spout outs. And
so, what just happened when we asked you if we had any, and you didn't respond at all?
Because I think it's more funny to talk about. We want to spout out some Olympic stuff, but then Jane gave the worst face in the world when I said that.
Jane doesn't like the Olympics.
I just think it's kind of overrated.
All this competition.
Here, I'm
going to
train and be like this Olympic athlete, and then I win a gold, and then people forget my name.
Oh, I'm like,
what happened
offended.
To the amateur Olympics?
What, is there
I'm over. I'm over. I'm over Michael Phelps. All right?
He's still really fast.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, but he doesn't have his whole, like, the big outfit to make him go faster.
Oh, they outlawed those. Or
yeah,
not allowed.
Dave Oswald said that they're made to be like a fish.
Yeah, it's like.
So they're called like slick suits or something like that.
It's like the same feeling as like a seal.
Like so really that they can float on top of the water and go faster.
Can slide, yeah.
So what's your deal with the Olympics, Jane? You're just not a fan of sports?
I think she's mad because I'm like, taking over the TV.
Yeah, Sarah's taking over the TV. Oh. I was watching something the other night. She texted me, hey, is the TV free? And I said, well, I'm watching something. Well, if I come home, can I watch the Olympics?
That's not what happened.
Just buy a TV. It is.
No, you said I'll get off it when you get home.
Because I knew what you wanted.
Well, then you can't say that I made you get off the TV.
But all you three offered. Of you are taking over the TV.
It is all three of us. It isn't just
it's
me.
It's ridiculous.
This is just funny. Let this happen.
Hold my purse, Kevin.
So I bet that it's more of the harboring resentment because you can't watch the Olympics.
And get as excited.
Or you can't watch TV because Sarah wants to watch
I just television. Think the Olympics is overrated.
That's
and
fair.
It's like taking over my roommates.
But Sarah earlier had a great spout out that I thought was really funny. So Sarah, who'd you want to spout out?
I want to spout out Ryan Seacrest because
congratulations, Brian.
Ryan got promoted to the Olympics, which is a really big gig, you know?
It's a very big gig.
Especially while you're being the executive producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah. And he does radio shows and he does work really hard, doesn't he, Kevin?
He's seriously probably the hardest working host out there. I hate that we're talking about this.
I know.
But it's true.
Okay, but there was one part where I got really disappointed in the coverage of the Olympics. I've watched a lot of it, but they talked about like what was the most tweeted about thing about the opening or the openers of Olympics. And I'm like, no, Ryan, don't tell me about tweets. I don't care. But in case you're wondering, the Queen was the most retweeted person of
The Olympics.
I would have tweeted about how his pants were a little too high for the shoes that he was wearing.
I know.
This is like when somebody asks your opinion about something that doesn't matter and you have to come up with something like what's your favorite gummy flavored snack? But I don't know, you have to give me an answer.
This is why I think the Olympics is weird.
Okay.
We're gonna keep
this
going.
Is why I think it's weird so that you like the Olympics so much.
Oh.
Because Sarah cares less about any kind of sporting event.
No, that's not true. I like going to watch football games. I go to Fresno State games and stuff.
Okay. But when the Olympics comes on, she's obsessed.
Because
she is obsessed. Well,
because I also love America. So I'm more gay.
Oh, so this is where it all stems from your patriotism.
Yeah, and I feel like my family is winning.
Every time the Americans win the gold medal, Sarah stands up and like sings the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. I do in my heart a little
she
bit.
She sings the Pledge of Allegiance?
Well, you say it.
Yeah,
you
or
know,
the national anthem.
The national anthem.
All of the above.
Shows how good of an American I am.
Yeah. So many other things I'm stopping myself from saying about the Olympics.
It is so funny to me.
Well, hopefully over
the
next couple
weeks,
we'll keep talking about the Olympics because I really like the Olympics. So I don't think I'm a mega fan.
I felt really bad for Michael Phelps because when he didn't win the gold for that first race, the interviewer, I don't know if anyone noticed, the interviewer came up to him and said, how do you feel? This is the first time you haven't won a medal in 12 years. And he's like, oh, I'm a little frustrated, whatever. She goes, yeah, but what emotion are you having? I was like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah, but how do you feel? Like trying to make him mad. And
grief, man.
I felt really
did
bad.
Did he punch her in the face?
Almost. I would have.
That's all my reviews
go push her
with
in
my
the
boss.
Pool?
Exactly. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though, and we can close out the show. Because there's so much coverage that needs to happen, NBC has to hire these like subpar anchors to be at all these different events at all these.
She's the alternate.
And oh, I'm serious. And there's been a lot of like news about like these. They're hiring horrible interviewers that don't know the right questions to ask. So it comes across as like, why are you even working for NBC? But there's so many events in so many different places that they don't have enough solid people to do it all. You know what I mean?
Me and Jane could probably do it.
I don't want to do it.
Cam Belici could probably do a great job also.
Sarah, I was going to say, I think you've missed your calling. Mm-hmm. You should be a host for the Olympics.
Stop.
You have four years to get what you want.
So Michael Phelps doesn't win.
Right.
What question?
Yeah.
Do you ask?
What do you say?
And,
I'm Michael Phelps.
And,
oh my gosh, I'm so tall and
Jane,
skinny, and
Jane,
I just.
And you have to do it in your newscaster voice.
Oh my gosh, Kevin. Okay, wait.
So
I just
he pops out
I'm
of the pool.
Out of breath. I just got done swimming my freestyle, and I lost.
Michael, how do you feel right now?
I feel wet.
All right. Well,
okay. When the interviewee is awful, then
I feel wet.
Hey.
Well, I'm a little disappointed, Sarah.
Are we still going with this?
Yeah.
What was going through your mind through that last
There's lap? A good question.
Reach for the wall. Reach for the wall. And do you feel like you put in your absolute best today?
I could have done better.
Really? In what way? Could have got the gold. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Where's my towel? Thanks for your time, Michael.
Hey, well, make sure you check out more Olympic coverage
really
with Sarah.
Right
and also check out our Facebook or our Instagram. We post pictures all the time on there. And we'll
or
post
once a week.
Or once a week on there, yeah. And then make sure you, if you want to email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com or, yeah, Twitter us, whatever you want to do. This is The Spout.
And we're out.
Dave Sather, please come on the show next week.
Please, Dave, please.
Second hand unwind. If you're not-